Thank you, Jennifer. And I am grateful that at Hope Church, we really do make a difference. And boy, that is sounding really twangy. I know I live in Arkansas, but I don't know that I, is that a little better? All right. We've been in a series called The Seven Statements from the Cross. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at what Jesus said, the first statement, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And we talked about that last week. We looked at the word assurance. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a really important message because nobody should have to doubt whether or not they're going to be going to heaven. And if you didn't hear that message, make sure that you go to the app and listen to that. And so this week we come to the third word, a statement, which Jesus says to his mother, Mary. She's standing, just picture this. She's standing at the foot of the cross watching her son die. It's a very tender moment. And when you actually think about it, Jesus is hanging on the cross. Mary has a broken heart. She's watching her son suffer with incredible agony. And I don't know. Can you imagine being a mom watching your son on the cross? You know, when you think about it, Mary's life, there was a lot of emotional pain. Let me just remind you of a couple things. First, she has an unexplained birth. Imagine all the people thinking about Mary when she says, yeah, Joseph and I have never been together, but I'm going to have a baby, and it was God who made me pregnant. I mean, when you think about that, how does that go over in the community? Even the announcement of Jesus' birth, I know, was painful. And then remember, after Jesus is born, they take him to the temple, and the wise old priest comes out and he blesses and dedicates Jesus as a baby. And then he says, hey, Mary, I need to talk to you. Pulls Mary aside and he says, I need to tell you something. Your baby is going to suffer much pain. And by the way, it's going to pierce your heart. How would you like to be a mom of your first baby and hear that? And then they have to flee because of Herod. And Herod decides, I don't want there to be a Messiah. I am in charge. And so every child under the age of 2, I'm going to murder. So imagine again, they flee their home country to Egypt, and Mary knows that because of her son, so many moms will no longer be allowed to have their son. And so Jesus continues to grow and continues to mature, and he begins his ministry. And then in their town, Jesus is sharing and doing good. And whose neighbors are those that try to kill Jesus and throw him off of a cliff? Imagine those who try to murder your son, they're your neighbors. And how do you relate to that? In spite of all of the miracles, we come back to Mary, and she is watching her son be tortured. She is watching her son be mocked and spit on. She knows that they pulled his beard out and that they whipped him over and over again. 39 stripes basically equals about 280 scars on his body before he goes to the cross. Loss of sleep, loss of blood. Jesus is stumbling up a hill. Everybody's mocking him. The disciples have scattered because they're terrified. And the people who show up are his mom, one of his best friends, and a few other ladies. This is how John chapter 19, verse 25 reads. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, that's Mary, and his mother's sister, and Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, standing near the cross, and the disciple, and that was John, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, and this will be the third word from the cross, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then he points to John, that disciple. And John doesn't even say his name in this. But we know it's John. "Here is your son, here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple who wrote the book took Mary. "Hey, mom, this is your new son. And John, this is your new mom. Would you please take care of one another?" I don't know if this sounds significant, but it's highly significant. And here's why. What Jesus is doing here is he is showing deep concern for his family. And he's also showing deep concern for you and me when we suffer. I think there's a couple of things we can learn. Jesus, just picture this. He locks eyes with his mom. Her heart is broken and the life is draining out of Jesus. They're laser focused on one another and everything that's going on around them doesn't matter. And in these moments, Jesus gives his last will and testament. And what does he have to give his mom? He doesn't have a home. He's not rich. He doesn't even have any clothes except the ones on his back that his mom made. And so what does he give her? The only thing he can. His best friend. "I trust you, mom. I can't give you anything, but I'm going to give you what I can give you. I'm going to give you my best friend. And he's going to take care of you because after I die, you're going to need protected. Mom, here's John. John, here's your mom." Think about this. Jesus saw her pain in the midst of all of his pain and made provision for his family. Now, I'm going to be honest. When I'm in a lot of pain, I don't know if I'm thinking about you. If I'm home throwing up and all that and I've got diarrhea and my world is falling apart, I'm not at that moment going, "Hey, I wonder how Hope Church is doing." No, I'm selfish. I'm like, you know, I told you when I was sick a couple weeks ago, I talked to our daughter and I said, "You know, hey, I'm sorry. Make sure Thorne knows that Papa loves him." And she's like, "What? Dad, you're exaggerating. I mean, I didn't know. I thought I was done." All right, let me ask you this. When you're sick and, you know, throwing up and life is miserable, are you going, "Man, I wonder how Hope Church is doing"? I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say I don't think so. Because that's what happens when we're hurting and when we're in pain, we think about us. And think about this. Jesus is now hanging on the cross. I don't know what's worse, the physical, the emotional, or the spiritual pain. He's carrying all of the sins of the world. In his dying moment, he starts by saying, Father, forgive all of them. They don't know the magnitude of what they are doing. I mean, they knew they were hanging him to the cross. They didn't realize it was the Savior of the world. And on the cross, Jesus doesn't just think about the world. He thinks about a thief who deserves to die right next to him. And he says, hey, you're going to be with me in paradise today. I promise you. He thinks about the world. He thinks about that one. And then he says, Mom, he's not praying to Mom. And we don't need to pray to Mom. He's saying, I'm giving to you. I'm not asking something from you. The only thing I have to give is my best friend, John. Typically, when we're hurting, we pull into a shell. But there's something we can learn about Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that when I'm in pain, there's somebody probably in more pain than I am. There's somebody who is hurting, and it might be good for us to realize that even in our pain, we can still be used by God to help somebody else. And Jesus made a choice, not just to focus upon himself. I'm amazed. Jesus is dying on the cross and he's thinking about other people. He's thinking about the people who hung him there. He's thinking about the guy next to him. And then he says, I'm going to take care of my mom. He doesn't say, do you not understand how deep my pain is? Do you not understand that they just nailed me to this cross? Do you not understand that they ripped my beard out and that they beat me to where my back is filleted open and now I'm stuck against a tree? Excuse me, I'm being crucified. Follow me here just for a second. Jesus, at this moment, is doing the most important work he has ever done. Nothing is more important or will ever be more important than what Jesus was doing on the cross. In the middle of this, in the middle of taking on the sins of the world, he cares about others. Nothing can ever be more important than what Jesus did on the cross. And I want you to understand two things from this. The first thing is that he cared about the people who were crucifying him. Matter of fact, one of them, we'll read later, he says this was an innocent man or the Son of God. He cares about a thief who was done wrong. And he cares about his mom because he sees her broken heart. You have to understand that that's how Jesus loves. He cares about you when you have done wrong. He cares about you when you are guilty. He cares about you when you are brokenhearted. And I think there's another principle here. No matter what you're doing in your daily life, it will never be as important as this. You understand, I'm not saying what you do isn't important. What I'm saying is that you'll never die for all of the sins of mankind. You'll never be hung on a cross and ask the question, God, my God, have you also forsaken me? You'll never be in that place because you're not the Savior of the world. So you'll never do anything as important as him. And in those moments, he cared about those around him. But you will be faced with this. Well, I've got to get this deal done so my family can wait. I've got to take care of this, so I'll get back to you. You'll never do anything as important as Jesus did, and he modeled for us that family matters. He modeled for us that people matter. He modeled for us that the things that are the most important are exactly what he showed us. However, this is the exact opposite of what our culture says. Kingdom values are the opposite of American values. And we saw that this week. Who is number one? The guy who gets the toilet paper first. I mean, all around the country, we are hoarding. We are keeping because we're number one. I loved reading about all the toilet paper on the freeway. I don't know if someone, just went and bought it all and said, who cares? I don't care. Who cares? Somebody else told me around their house there was someone who did a little toilet paper on a tree. I mean, I don't know. But here's what is modeled. My needs. And then we'll see about you. Jesus said, you want to be great? Then serve. You want to be miserable? Then make life all about you. I'm telling you, I don't even know. I don't even know how Jesus on the cross would say, I'm going to forgive those people who put me here. I don't even know how he looks at the person next to him who's so guilty and so deserves to be there, while Jesus doesn't deserve to be on that cross at all. And he says, I'm going to remember you. Not what you did, but where you're going. Because where you're going is to hang out with me in paradise. And I don't even know, after all of the exhaustion and not sleeping and the loss of blood and just everyone mocking him and cussing at him and spitting on him and tearing his beard out and then jamming a crown of thorns on his head, I don't even know how he could see his mom. But he did. And he said, Mom, you matter. Family matters. And the only thing I have to give you, I'm going to make happen right now before I die. John, I know you love me. And now I need you to love my mom. And Mom, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Let me just give you one kind of last thought and we'll wrap things up today. Whatever pain you're in, and I don't know what everybody's going through. I can tell you this, I'm sorry. I don't like when anybody's in pain. But whatever pain you're in, there is comfort that comes from Christ. But don't miss this. Do you know how Mary got comfort from Jesus? She was close in proximity. She was at the foot of the cross. If she wouldn't have been there, he couldn't have blessed her with John. He couldn't have said, what was he going to do? Yell? Mary! She was in proximity to the cross. I don't know what pain you're in. I wish you were in no pain. But I can tell you this. If you want to receive strength and help from Jesus, it has to do with proximity. You have to come to him. And the place where we come is to the cross. That's where he died for us. That's where all life springs forth, is from the cross. And what I see in America right now is we're all in it for ourselves. And I know this about Scripture. You'll either bow a knee or you will be driven to your knees. We will either bow on our own or we will be driven to our knees. Because God's not going to be mocked. He's just not. So if you're struggling right now, I encourage you through prayer like we did today, through the Holy Bible, through scriptures, get in proximity to where Jesus is. Get your mind focused on him, and he will be able to do in and through you all kinds of things. In the midst of pain. That's how Paul wrote from prison. Because he was in proximity to Jesus. I don't want to say I'm thankful he was in prison, but that's how we got a whole lot of the Bible written. Both John and Mary would have missed the blessing had they not been in proximity. They would have missed the comfort. They would have missed those touching words. Last thought is this. I know sometimes we're all hurting. But we are truly blessed when we become a blessing. And the more we only focus on us, the harder it is to be happy in this life. When we focus on Christ and we focus on others, it makes a big difference. And that's exactly what we learn from Jesus on the cross as he assures his mom, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you my best friend. Let's pray together. God, I know that you answer our prayers at the foot of the cross. I know that you care. I know that you love us. I know that in our pain, you are not walking away. I know, Lord Jesus, that you've modeled for us, that you care about us when we're guilty. You care about us when we've done wrong. You care about us when our hearts are broken, just like Mary's was. And I pray, God Almighty, that you would help us to love like your son loved. And that you will help us to draw strength from you when things are hard. Jesus, all I can say is I don't know, I'm embarrassed that I can focus so much on me, and when I see what you did, and maybe there's someone else who feels that way. I pray that you would help us. It's so easy to be selfish. It's so easy to think of us. God, we don't deserve your love, but we're so grateful for it. We're so grateful for your strength that you want to give us. We're so grateful that you want to help us. We're so grateful that you want us to be like your son, and that you've modeled for us how to do this. God, I'm so thankful for all of us here today and those who will be listening at home. Lord, bless each one, I pray. Bless them and keep them, God. May your face shine on them. God, radiate through us the love of Jesus, I pray. Amen.